two reunions you went to with the group of survivors.
Liberators. Is that what you mean?
No. The meeting in Israel and in Prague with the survivors.
But he was not there.
He was not there, but...
Other survivors.
Oh, I
other
see.
Other survivors. So there were two meetings of survivors.
Yes, that would be pertinent to your question, Sarah. In the first one was actually in Israel. Essentially, that was the group of prisoners who was amongst the who were the 89 boys that were sort of spared the gas chamber on July 6, 1944. I don't know if I make myself clear. One of the lucky strokes for me was that even though I was the wrong age group to be selected for work and therefore spared the gas chamber when the family camp was liquidated in Auschwitz-Birkenau, we had a reunion of those of the survivors of the 89 boys. The first one was in Israel.
And about 20 came.
About 20 came to that reunion. There are probably only 10 alive today.
Can I add to that question? What kind of relationship did you feel you had with your fellow survivors? Like, how did you feel a certain kinship with them, or were they just like strangers?
No, I think they were more than strangers because we have a lot in common, and that's why we had those reunions.
Right.
They were getting rarer and rarer because as we aged, we also became physically difficult to travel.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to take questions from the class, or Kate? Do you want to ask for other new questions?
Why don't we do that? We have a few minutes left before the end of the period, and I'll ask the students here if they have any other questions. Is that okay, Michael?
Yes.
So, do you all have any questions? All right, Scarlett.
Thank you.
That was Sarah saying goodbye.
Yeah.
Hi,
Scarlett.
How did you meet each other?
The two of us?
Yeah.
After a few years living in the United States, I had the desire to go back to Europe. And I took time off from my job in New York and traveled to Europe. First, I worked in London for a year. Then I got a job in Geneva, Switzerland, with an architect there, designing an intercontinental hotel. And during that stay there, I met Ilana, and within a year, we were married, and well, that was the meeting. That's how we met.
And Ilana is from Israel, right?
Ilana is from Israel, and she studied medicine in Switzerland.
Thank you.
Another question?
You can answer maybe.
Hi.
Oh, he's got
and here comes Ty.
Ty, you are the first boy who asks questions. Congratulations.
We read a lot about Taurasian and how in Taurasian there were schools. Do you recall going to school at that ghetto?
Well, that was a sort of mixed bag. The school, first of all, it was not officially recognized, and so they did it sort of partly surreptitiously. But there was a lot of culture. There were small orchestras. They even performed a requiem by Verdi, because there were a lot of musicians amongst Jewish people, and some of them managed to bring their instruments. And there were even theater performances, very improvised. There was a children's opera called Brundibar that was composed there and performed. There was a building which was the former elementary school in town that was turned into a dormitory for boys. Well, there was another one for girls. But this particular one that I'm talking about, I sort of call it the Harvard of Theresienstadt, where they had somehow more freedom, or created the freedom, and had good teachers and really enjoyed the comradeship. They lived in this school, and so they were there really 24 hours a day and became really good friends. And so the whole thing was a positive experience for them.
But there really was not formal teaching. It was underground. They were not supposed to teach, but they arranged it so that people came to the different groups at different times and worked with them. But there was really no formal education because the Germans did not allow it.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Another question? Let's see.
Hi.
Say your name.
I'm Jesse.
Jesse? Hi.
Did your family try to emigrate before the Holocaust began?
Yes. It was my mother who pushed the idea, and they tried to get a visa to one of the South American countries, but it was already too late, and it was not successful.
Did you know anyone who did successfully emigrate?
Quite a few people, yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Here's Sabina.
Hello, Sabina.
Sabrina.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. I was wondering if you're still practicing Jews today, like if you still practice Judaism.
I do not come from a religious family.
Okay.
My mother's family was observant, but not religious. In fact, I had an uncle who was the head of the Jewish community in the little town where I lived. But my father was fairly secular, and I don't remember that he ever went to the synagogue.
Did you feel after the war an urge to go back to Judaism, or the opposite, to stay away from the religious part?
I was very neutral and cool about religion. I was not driven or
one way or the other.
I didn't need it. I remember there was one young man in our group, the group of 89, that was very religious, and he became a rabbi in Israel. But I can't think of anybody else who was very religious.
Well, I think Yehuda is quite religious in Israel. Being that I come from Israel, we raised the children in the Jewish tradition. We did not belong to a synagogue, because I never belonged to a synagogue in Israel. We sort of felt funny to join here, but we celebrated all the holidays, and the children grew up feeling that they were Jewish.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, Alana and Michael, if you have any questions for my students.
You weren't prepared for that one.
No.
Oh, there we go.
Were you able to hear?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah? He's thinking.
What does it mean?
Anything you'd like to tell them or share with them?
What does it mean for them, for the students, to learn about the Holocaust? What lesson do they get out of it, and what is their reaction?
Does anyone want to answer that? Yeah, Zach. Yeah, come over here. Zachary would like to answer that question.
Thank you. Can't really judge how many students there are.
There are a lot.
Yes?
Thank you for speaking with us today.
You're very welcome.
After class one day, we had been learning about Theresienstadt and a lot about cultural and intellectual resistance. And after class, I said, you know, this is really, you know, really depressing, and I'm really, really proud to be Jewish. So that's sort of my overall takeaway, is that I'm really thankful and proud of my ancestors and really proud and grateful to be learning about it. Like that.
Hold on.
Is that our computer?
It's just the connection between the two, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, we lost the connection.
Zach, finish that last sentence, please.
Just that I'm really grateful to be learning about it, especially in a great class with a great teacher.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think we have time from you all, maybe another question from you or anything else you'd like to share with my class?
Well, I really published the diary only after many, many years of hesitation, because I felt that it was my duty as a survivor, and there are not that many, especially now, still alive, that perhaps witnessing the Holocaust is a duty on my part, and therefore I welcome that you had the time to read my diary and learn something about it. Just hope you can realize that this was written really by almost a child, and that I had no pedagogical education to really write a book that would address your age group. So if indeed it served any positive purpose, I'm very grateful to you.
Yes.
Especially those who are teaching the Holocaust now. It's not an easy subject. Thank you, Kate.
Děkuji.
Kateřina.
Kateřina. So I would like to say thank you on behalf of my students, both Alana and Michael, for you to take the time and for you to share your experience, because I know that that it can't be easy, and that we are tremendously grateful, and we as a class, we promise to keep sharing the stories, and we are grateful that you did this with us. And I'd like everyone to sort of come over here so you can see all of these students that you've shared your story with. There are lots. So before we say goodbye, maybe you all could crowd around
my
here.
Goodness. They were nice.
Yeah, there's about 60 of them.
That's a big crowd.
Come on. You can't see most. I don't know, I'll try. Okay, I'm gonna hold up the computer.
Oh wow, that is a big group.
Yeah.
That's almost as big. Once I talked to a student group in Springfield, Massachusetts.
In an auditorium,
and there were several hundred. But this is getting close to it.
Well, thank you so much, and
thank you.
Very grateful.
Thank you very much for your attention.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nasledanou.
That's goodbye in Czech.
I figured.